Today's sermon is entitled Living Faith Fully. It's based on Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 22, and Luke 5, 15 through 16. Living faith fully. I'm only human. That's a phrase that I'm not particularly fond of. You know, a doctor may spend hours in the ER trying to save a dying person and may fail to do so. And you may hear a nurse say to the doctor, "You're only human." That's okay. That is a consolation. It's consoling someone who is feeling depressed about the loss of a human life under his or her care. But I don't know if you would hear the doctor say, "I'm only human," unless he was confronted by the family about, you know, failing to save the life. "I'm only human" is usually an expression used to excuse behavior that could have been prevented, rather than to excuse behavior that or to excuse the failure to do something that is above and beyond our human ability. It's most often just kind of a cop out, and indirectly, "I'm only human" is really, it's really blaming rather than anything else. Imagine yourself going to stand before God. You're standing in the presence of God, and God wants an accounting of your sins. And you say, "Well, I'm only human." What would God say to that? God would say what? "You're only human? I created you in my image. I created you to be steward of the earth, to love one another, to live in peace with one another." "I'm only human" is casting blame on God. It's telling God, "You didn't create me well enough. It's your fault that I sinned, God." Last week, we looked at the story of this poor woman caught in adultery. It's a very familiar story. The woman is brought before Jesus for sentencing, and when Jesus says to that whoever is without sin should throw the first stone, the accusers leave the scene one by one. Now, to their credit, they were able to admit that they had, at some point in their lives, done something wrong, though I don't know if they were ready to admit sin, every sin that they had committed. Most people would confess to some sin in their lives, but most would also underestimate their own sinfulness. Instead of readily or humbly admitting their transgressions, they either make excuses for it, "Hey, I'm only human," which, as we see, is really blaming someone else for it, or they deny having done anything wrong at all. No remorse, no shame, no taking responsibility for their actions. I've been watching a British detective series lately. It's called Inspector Lewis, and the disturbing thing about this is that many of the murderers that are caught in these stories, they deny guilt. They rationalize it. "Well, you know, I had to kill these people because they were preventing the progress of humanity, or these people deserve to die for some such reason." You know, some garbage like that. Denial of responsibility for our sins, or rationalizing our sin, blaming others for our sin, they're all really signs of our own sickness. Taken as an extreme, these ways of avoiding responsibility are all traits of mental illness. And any form of denial of sin is a definite indicator of spiritual sickness. It's true enough that we all sin, and it's also clear from our avoidance techniques that we are not comfortable with our sin. So what should we do about it? Well, the answer is quite simple. You need to take your sin to God. You need to take your sin to God. Should you be afraid of bringing your confession to God? Well, yes, you should, in a way, because God is God. But remember what the good book says. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, why is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? Because in fearing God, you acknowledge that there is a God, first of all, and it's no coincidence that people who take no responsibility for their behavior are more likely to deny the existence of God. It's easy to deny sin if there is no God who determines right or wrong. But if you deny sin, if you deny God, you close yourself off to the work that the Holy Spirit needs to perform in you, and you prevent yourself from being the person that God created you to be. The right course of action in dealing with sin is to approach God with that sin, even though you fear doing so, because the consequence of not going to God can be enormous. Read what the psalmist writes in our Old Testament lesson. He writes, "While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long." Well, I interpret keeping silent to mean refusing to confess your sin to God. And my body wasting away to really be just the agony that you feel for holding on to all that sin, to holding on to the shame and the guilt of all that. "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer." This is a description of a kind of mental illness. To feel God's wrath is exhausting. It drains our strength. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquities." Well, that means I finally got around to praying. You know, when you bring your sin to God, what are you doing? You're praying. Many people don't do this until they feel that weight of sin and they realize that they can't cast it off themselves. They need God's help. And God said, "I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Guess what? God is loving and merciful. When you bring your sin before him, it's not like the heaviness of God's hand remains upon you. He doesn't want you to feel that all your life. He wants to lend his hand to guide you, to give you a full, abundant, joyful life. And then it finally concludes on verse 6. "Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you." Yes, all who are faithful. I like to break that word into two words, faith and full. I think of this in terms of this. You have faith in God, not simply in his existence, but in his presence, in his imminence. He is here now when I need him, and even when I don't need him, he's here. That's the full part. You know, your faith is full in the sense that you recognize that he is inescapable. He is all around you all the time. That's fullness of God's presence. I am faithful, full of faith in God, faith that God is around me, faith that God is with me, faith that he doesn't leave me. That's why I bring my sin before him, because I have no other choice. God already sees my sin. If I've sinned, it means I haven't been faithful. It means that I have turned away from God. And the less time I spend with God, the more time I spend away from God, the less faithful I am. And it shows in my behavior. How many of us have felt after skipping prayer time or devotional time for days or weeks or years that life just isn't going as smoothly as it should? Perhaps that's God's hand upon you, reminding you that you've gone down the wrong path, that you're neglecting God. Those who are faithful offer prayer to God because they are full of faith. They believe that God's presence is with them anyway. Those who are faithless are more apt to make excuses for their iniquities, like, "I'm only human," or "I didn't ask to be born." They cast off the blame, but unfortunately they can't cast off the heavy hand of God, and they lose their minds. Worse yet, they lose their souls. Paul urges us in the epistle lesson to pray without ceasing. If you do that, it pretty much assures that you will be bringing any of your transgressions before God, but it also assures much more than that. Some people imagine God to be nothing more than like one of those soap dispensers you see in the hospital, a Purell dispenser, like, you know, something that just cleans the soul when you go to it. You go to God, he dispenses a little dispensation, and you're good for a little while until you get dirty again. God is much more than a sin sanitizer. God is a constant companion. God is a guide. God is a counselor. God is a comforter. God is an encourager. God wants you to have nothing less than that full life that he creates you to live, however long you may live. Paul tells us, and he tells the church in Thessalonia, much more than confess your sins to God. No, he speaks about respecting one another, encouraging one another, being patient with one another. Why does he do this? Because that's what God does. It's more than just cleansing us of our sin. God wants us to walk a straight path, and God is willing to lead us on that path. And the more time you spend in prayer, the better you are at living the way that God wants you to live. Okay, finally, I want to get to the gospel lesson today. Two simple verses about Jesus. It's one is that the crowds wanted to hear him, they wanted to be cured by him. And the second verse says, but it starts off with the word but. He went away to a private place to pray. It seems to me that by far the biggest reason people came to see Jesus when he walked this earth was to be healed or cured of some sickness, to see again or to walk again, to be cleansed of leprosy or some such disease. And Jesus, for the most part, accommodates them, heals them, cures them. But in these verses, but he would withdraw to a deserted place and pray. The one guy who had no need to confess his sins before God, nonetheless, needs to take time out from the commendable work of curing diseases, find a quiet place, and pray. You know, I can imagine a lot of people today who are so busy serving God that they fail to spend enough time praying to God. You need to have that concentrated time. I imagine there are people here who would feel so guilty, and you know, if they were in Jesus' place, there would be people clamoring to see them. But you need to take care of this person, you need to do that, you need to do this. And they would get so caught up in those tasks that they would completely neglect that personal time with God that is so essential for a healthy spiritual life. You know, so sometimes to pray without ceasing means that you have to take a little time away from your work, as important as it may be, and spend some quality time with God. So may God grant you the discernment to see, first of all, that you need to come to Him with your confession of your sins. Don't make excuses. Don't blame others. Just bring them before God humbly and in confession. Secondly, pray without ceasing. Be conscious of God's presence always and everywhere, every minute of the day. And finally, take the special time, take that concentrated time every day. Every day, take some special time. Half an hour is good. 20 minutes if you don't have a half an hour. Do it in the early more part of the day if you can. Just wake up a half an hour earlier if you need to. Spend that quality time with God. Spend a little time looking at the big picture and see if God is not faithful in speaking to you and guiding you through your life and in bringing you great joy. In Jesus' name, Amen.